Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Jody Peterman. We know that no one understands what you need better than you do. We take care to guide you through the legal process, ensuring that you're able to make the decisions that are best for you. If you have a personal injury, criminal, or family law issue, please take a look at our website to learn more about our practice. We offer a free initial consultation for personal injury cases. Give us a call at 229-375-5680. We have a reputation for being accessible and treating our clients well. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hello, I'm Guy Terry of Terry and Peterman. At Terry and Peterman, we are committed to representing the hardworking residents of South Georgia in personal injury, criminal, and family law matters. For years, we have worked with college students in this area to ensure legal issues do not disrupt their academic careers. We also represent military families struggling with divorce and family law issues. We rely upon over 30 years of combined experience to provide aggressive representation for our clients.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Welcome to a pre-Memorial Day edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com with Johnny Danger and Joshua Von Wheel. How are you guys tonight?
I'm doing good.
I'm sore.
I was about to ask, Johnny, are you sore from the hangover or from the wrestling?
A little of both, to be honest.
Well, I'm sure you will do a lot more talking than usual tonight, Johnny Danger, because, well, first, let me explain what happened with tonight's show. So I'm in Kentucky with my girlfriend's family reunion and found out that on Friday that we would be driving back on Monday and may not be back in Atlanta by 7 p.m. So that is why we're doing a Sunday show. But originally I thought we were going to have a big show, literally, because there was a slight chance that the big show from WWE was going to call in. Because not only is SmackDown at Phillips Arena on Tuesday, but he will be at Wizard World, Atlanta Comic Con, whatever, on Friday through Sunday, I believe, or Thursday maybe. But that didn't pan out because WWE's been in Europe, and obviously it's just hard to get someone like that to call into a show like this. So my backup plan was the BFFs because they're wrestling their final match as a tag team, because one of them is moving to Texas, I believe, next Friday at All-Star Wrestling Network, I believe.
Yeah, I heard that Anthony Andrews is moving to Texas. Johnny Danger, can you confirm that?
I can't. I didn't see them at the NWA show last night. I'm not sure. Maybe Matt Sells will know a little more.
Well, that is what Marvelous Michael Stevens told me. So,
okay, so there you go.
So they were going to do the show on Monday, but then when I switched it to Sunday, only one of them could call in because the other one already had other plans. So
right.
Then we went to our other backup plan, which was going to be next week's show, which would be Matt Sexcells, because he's also leaving Georgia, as we all know. So long story short, we've got Matt Sexcells calling in tonight, Johnny Danger's Rock and Roll Models tag team partner. I think technically you are still the PWR Tag Team Champions, is that right?
As far as I know, yes.
And Jen Holbrook Sells will also be calling in, not only because they're both moving, but also because she now works for a company called Zenoscope Entertainment, who will also be part of Wizard World in Atlanta, alongside Big Show and many other pop culture luminaries. So it is a very rock and roll model edition of Georgia Wrestling Now.
As
and that's
be.
The story. That's the story for tonight's show.
It should be.
So it is a Sunday edition. So if you're calling or if you're tuning in on Monday or what do you call, you don't tune in to the internet. What do? If you're logging in on Monday.
Yeah, I guess you log in. I guess with this one, you're going to download it though.
Yeah. I mean, for our few live listeners, you'll be hearing the archive edition on Monday night.
Fantastic.
And I've been at a lake not far from Louisville. Unfortunately, I haven't had any Jim Cornette sightings, but hopefully I will. On the way out tomorrow, we're going to stop in Louisville for a dish called Hot Brown, which is a famous Louisville or Kentucky sandwich or something. But otherwise, I've been isolated in a lake house, and it hasn't been bad.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, so you go to Florida last week for some stuff, and now this week you're in Kentucky. Did your job fire you, or are you just going to get that much vacation time? How is this possible?
I have vacation days.
I mean, Jesus. I request 2 days off, and they freak out and think the entire world's falling apart.
Well, I guess we have different
We got different, either that or I'm more valuable than you are. I mean, you go figure.
It could be that, too. I don't know.
No, I'm just not. By the way, I'll be eating ice throughout the show because all I have in my apartment to drink is Coke Zeros, and I don't feel like having a Coke Zero while I'm on the show. I either have water, but I have no water, so I'm eating ice.
That will explain the crunching.
Yes, so I apologize in advance.
Well, Johnny
no,
Danger,
seriously, though,
have...
anybody that's ever lived in Florida, you know all about the water supply system here. We have limestone in our water, so it tastes like junk. So if you don't buy bottled water, you can't drink
weekend,
water in
mentioned.
Florida. But anyway,
even when I went out to eat, like the ice would make regular drinks taste weird.
Oh yeah, you have to get like restaurant ice, like out of like an ice machine. You can't get just regular ice, and don't let it melt too much, because then, like you said, it's gonna taste bad. So anyway,
Johnny Danger,
this
you've
week,
had,
I know
you've
I did
had an event. What's that?
I was saying, you guys had to do some shows. Did Johnny Danger go to a show this week?
Johnny,
Johnny
had
Danger
an event
did.
Week.
Yeah, I guess we'll
he
start at the
go
beginning.
To the show. He wrestled at a show.
Yeah, if you
yeah,
talk
go ahead,
wrestling.
Yeah, so tell us about your athletic competition this past Saturday night at NWA Atlanta.
Okay, well, let's take a step back first and start on Friday night. Fozzie was in town, Chris Jericho's band, and the Danger Cells Express had to roll into that show. Pretty good time. Fozzie opened for Buck Cherry. Fozzie was the highlight, if you ask me. Good show. Then we'll go to Saturday, NWA Atlanta. I'm sure Matt Sells will have his side of the story when he gets on later, but unfortunately a month ago at the War Games event, he lost the NWA Atlanta Championship to Drew Adler. I signed him up for a rematch. It was a ladder match at the last show in Locust Grove. Unfortunately, he lost that match when I inadvertently powerbombed him off the ladder, thanks to Drew Adler shoving him off the ladder. He wanted to blame me for all of his shortcomings of late, called me out to the ring, tried to embarrass me, and quite frankly, I wasn't having it. I challenged my boss to a match, and I beat him 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring.
That's quite sad, actually.
It was sad in a way, but it was also kind of empowering. I mean, first of all, it's the biggest win in my career, I think.
Oh, I'm not talking about a match. I'm talking about Fozzie and Bug Cherry concert. Jesus Christ, that's why radio's dead right there. Holy cow.
I want to
the
hear
fact that Chris Jericho is a rock star and the fact that Bug Cherry still exists, my God, that's so pathetic.
Not a Fozzie fan?
I'm not a fan of anybody who has one true, really good passion they're really, really, really good at, dying out on that just to have a rock career and a podcast career.
Yeah, you must really hate Chris Jericho because he's
oh, I can't stand
pretty much, he's like Howard Stern. He's covered pretty much every medium you can think of.
Howard Stern is an icon and a legend and a guy that everyone can look up to because Howard Stern never said, oh, I'm going to start a rock band. Howard Stern just conquered radio. He conquered TV. He conquered book writing. And don't get me wrong, Jericho's books were good. Jericho is a upper mid-card professional wrestler on the highest level you can get, and then he decides to go be a curtain-jerking rock band? Please. Now, don't get me wrong.
Well,
when Fozzie was like a parody band, it was hilarious. But when he started going to be serious and writing love songs, good God.
I agree with you there. I enjoyed Fozzie more when it was Moon Goose McQueen's band and not Chris Jericho's band.
Yeah, now it's Chris Jericho brushing by Clear Channel. Come on, you're not a rock star, bro. You're a wannabe.
But I do like Fozzie.
I
mean,
I like him as a wrestler. I mean, sorry, Conlon.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, you know, he's one of the best wrestlers pound for pound in the history of the business. I mean, the stuff he did at ECW, Smoky Mountain, FMW, War, and WCW is some of the highlights of the mid and late 90s. But, I mean, come on, a rock star, please. That's the equivalent of Kevin Federline trying to rap, and yet no one calls out Jericho for being a rock star. But as soon as Kevin Federline tried to rap, you're all like, oh, Randy says it's time to be a rapper. Get over
what
it.
About
you
when Kevin Federline was a wrestler?
Fuck Jericho. Kevin Federline is a wrestler, the moneymaker, dude. I'm sorry. If Vincent had been smart, he would have kept that angle going for another fucking year. Johnny Nitro and freaking Joey Mercury would still be eating off Kevin Federline WrestleMania money. That dude was do you guys not remember what a great manager he was? He was epic because he got real heel heat and he enjoyed it. He embraced heel heat. That's what's missing in the business today. Nobody embraces heel heat. We all want to be all cool, ironic heel. Yeah. Fuck that. Get some fucking heat and make some money. I'm amped up now. I've been up for 12 minutes. Let's do this.
You're amped up. I had 2 days in a row didn't get into bed until after 4 in the morning. I got my ass beat last night.
Johnny Danger,
explain how
you accidentally powerbomb Matt Sells off of the ladder.
Okay, so it's towards the end of the match. Drew gives Matt the kryptonite crunch off the top turnbuckle. I thought he killed him. So I did what any hetero life mate would do and started to climb up the ladder myself to get Matt's belt for him. Drew Adler didn't take kindly to that, shoved me off the ladder. Everybody's dead for a minute. Drew gets to his feet first. I help Matt up. I start pushing Matt up the ladder. I'm holding him up. He's losing his balance, so I turn my back to him to help support him. Drew shoves him right into my arms, and unfortunately, I fall with him and do an improvised danger bomb. It was unfortunate. I regret it, but it was an accident.
The real question is, how did Johnny Danger come on the ladder and not hurt everybody in the ring?
Look, I've never hurt anybody else, just myself. But unfortunately, Matt didn't take too kindly to that. I guess things got said, and we settled in the ring last night, I hope. We'll see what he says when he gets on the line.
Well, it doesn't matter that much because the only way there's going to be a grudge match is if you go to Philadelphia at this rate.
That is true.
Hey, never say never in this business, Jonathan.
I agree with Johnny Danger on that one. I can see Johnny Danger versus Matt Sells main event in the Fed Center at Providence, Rhode Island for a Beyond Wrestling show in about 15 years.
Or an NWA
Atlanta show
around the holidays.
That's when they're on their downswing in their career, not, you know. Say that again.
I said it could also be an NWA Atlanta show around the holidays. Everybody's in town with their families.
So, Jonathan, you were in Kentucky. Did you go see some backyard wrestling somewhere in Harlan?
No, I have been at a what is the name of this place? It's a resort that everything's been set up through my girlfriend's family, so I'm just along for the ride.
Oh, wow. Jesus. Talk about having it made. A trip to Florida and then a paid trip to the middle of nowhere, Kentucky? Man.
It's not Midland. It's Taylorsville Lake, which is not far from Lexington and Louisville. I think it's about 20 minutes from each of those cities, maybe.
Okay, so that's not too bad. That's not completely. That's where the rich people in those areas go to hang out.
Yeah, it's basically like, it looks like a little neighborhood, but it's rental cottages, they call them, but they're just houses with hot tubs
they
and stuff.
They call them cottages.
Yeah.
How pretentious is that? They're timeshares, but we call them cottages.
White people.
There are a lot of those here.
Horse farms and cottages. So I went to the Shine show in Ybor on Friday night, and another fantastic show from the Ladies of Shine. And don't be surprised if Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment is going to be doing a women's show in the near future. Just to let you guys in on a little secret.
Now, what would surprise me is if you're going to book Pandora.
Not to wrestle.
You beat me to it, Johnny Danger.
Not to wrestle. She can do anything except get in the ring, because after watching the matches I watched, she is not on that level in the slightest.
What are your thoughts on other Georgia female wrestlers like Nina Monet and
They got
Pereira,
a long
possibly.
Ways to go before they're even. They kind of. Oh my God! I don't even want to like get into it, but let's just do this way. The girls I saw at Shine are probably some of the best in the world at what they do. And there's probably some girls right below that level, and then there's some girls in some other states. And there's some girls in some other states and areas. Then there's the girls that do WOW. Then there's the WWE Divas, and then there's Georgia's women's scene. There isn't one. Georgia's women's scene is two or maybe three girls who all wrestle two or three girls, and that's it.
Well,
I'll say this right now. Eva Lee Velez, Mia Yim, Leva Bates, Serena Deeb, Allison Kay, Taylor May, Sue Young, Amazing Kong, Athena, I can name the entire roster. Those girls could go toe-to-toe with 90% of the men on the independent scene, and it would still be fantastic, and it would still make logical wrestling psychology sense, even though they're women. That's how hard they hit. That's how hard they work. That's just how good they are in the ring. And seeing Serena Deeb live for now the second or third time, WWE dropped the ball on her so bad.
How did her career end there? I know she was with the Straight Edge Society. Was it pretty much when that dissolved?
I guess she got like fired for the whole drinking thing, remember? For the breaking kayfabe or whatever? I mean, again, why would you take a girl like her, who's a natural beauty, shave her head in the first place, and then freaking bury her as a manager when she could actually work? It just is beyond me. But, hey, I never lost $350 million, so, you know. Not yet, at least.
So, just for the hell of it, you mentioned WWE dropping the ball on her. If you had to pick, we'll say, one or two top talents in the history of wrestling that WWE has dropped the ball on, what are their biggest blunders, Josh?
Of all time?
Yeah, all time.
Oh, man. Oh, God, that's a tough one. Oh, goodness gracious. Because, see, a lot of the ones that you would think of the top of your head are actually probably guys that kind of fucked themselves, like Ahmed Johnson. Ahmed Johnson kind of fucked himself.
Right.
I would say, in all honesty, they really fucked themselves with Ron Simmons when he originally came in.
Okay.
He came in as just Ron Simmons and not Farooq Asad and never to the Nation, just as Ron Simmons as a mean old black dude that just beat the fuck out of Ahmed Johnson. He goes right to an angle with Shawn Michaels, or right to an angle with Vader, or right to an angle with Davey Boy Smith, and you're talking money. Like, straight money. Here's a guy who is a WWE World Champion. You're talking legit. Ron Simmons could have been unbelievable had they booked him as Ron Simmons from the get-go. And then let's see here. Another guy that I think they kind of dropped the ball on,
I didn't enjoy the ball and Ric Flair the first time. I really do. A lot of people are going to think,
believe
me, they gave him the belt or whatever. But why didn't we get Flair and Hogan? That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
I enjoyed his first run there, but I agree. That should have built up to Flair Hogan for sure.
WrestleMania 8, the Hoosier Dome, Flair and Hogan would have made it even bigger than it was. And then don't forget, his run was only a year and a half long.
Yeah.
Matt Sells, are you there?
Matt Sells is there.
What happened
Ask
to
Matt
Jen?
The same question. I want to hear what he says.
Jen's going to call in. I've just been listening from my phone.
Well, I saw your number. You didn't indicate you wanted to come on the line, and Jen hadn't called yet. Do you want us to wait?
Bring me on the line if you want to.
Okay. We are now
I
joined by Matt Sells.
Matt Sells is on the line right now.
Yes.
Hey, buddy.
This is no WCW hotline, but hey.
Hey, but we got a suit for you. We just got to charge you $2.99 a minute.
Jesus, yeah, God, if I'd been on those, I would have paid already, like $60. Thank God for the internet in 2014 now. Great. I was always more interested in calling phone sex numbers, though, so I don't know how big of a wrestling fan I can actually say I was.
Oh, goodness. So, Johnny, you did have an interesting question. Why don't you pose that for Mr. Matt Sells? I want to hear his answer.
Yeah, we were just talking about in the history of the WWE, who do you think they've dropped the ball on the most if you had to pick one or two people?
Oh, who have they dropped the ball on? See, I always try to be very political with my answers because this is a company that one day I would like to work for, and I don't want them to go back and search, because they're going to dig deep and search Georgia Wrestling now.
Nobody listens to this show.
In defense of this, don't forget, they hired Shane Douglas after all the shit he talked.
All right, it's true. I've got to go with Flair. I think they dropped the ball on Flair. I think the biggest thing they ever dropped the ball on, though, is it wasn't one certain person. I think the whole invasion angle, that should have been a year and a half angle, and I loved that angle at first, and that was probably the height of my wrestling fandom. And even then, I knew that the ball was getting dropped on that because I thought the alliance should have been played out a lot longer in a much better way. They should have signed up way more guys that people would have cared about marquee matchups with. So I think that's the biggest ball dropper of all time is with the whole invasion angle.
I never thought about that.
I mean, hindsight 2020, I mean, they ended up, bringing in Scott Steiner later. They ended up bringing Hogan Hall and Nash in later.
Yeah.
They ended up bringing in Goldberg later. If you brought those guys in right from the get-go and you got to do the marquee matchups everybody wanted to see, that would have been amazing.
And I think that, going back to that invasion angle, a lot of times it's very, it kind of was the same thing that happened with the UWF when they got bought by Turner and WCW, or the Crockett's and WCW was, why didn't we get Dr. Death versus Ric Flair in a real freaking angle? Why was Dr. Death seen with Barry Windham?
I mean, can you imagine 2001 getting Goldberg Austin, or getting Hogan Austin. Getting anything that they Triple H Steiner they did, but if you had done that earlier, getting DX versus the NWO, just the marquee matchups that I think everybody was salivating over when everybody heard that Vince bought WCW.
I definitely agree with that. I've never really thought about that as one big thing that he really dropped the ball on, but besides the WBF and the XFL, that probably might be the biggest blunder he's ever had.
And the reason they always give for that is that.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
The reason they've always given for that failing. That's okay. I'm on a shitty Wi-Fi connection, so I think we're talking all over each other and don't realize it. But the reason that's always been given for that not working out was that there were so many guys that were still under contract to Turner or Warner or whatever, And like Kevin Nash is the perfect example. He was like, why would I go work
right.
when I can just sit at home and collect money? But like you just said, Matt, they could have just brought them in when their other contracts expired, and it would have just been a drawn-out angle that kept on going for a while.
And I thought even with the guys that they had, I mean, I thought they had a hell of a roster that even with the guys they had without having Nash and Hogan, Hall and Goldberg, it seemed like it was an angle that should have gone, you know, a year and a half, and it was hot-shotted into a six-month angle.
Yeah.
So you started that in Atlanta, essentially, when you had the, you know, ECW invade that night with Van Damme and Dreamer, and they formed the alliance in one night, and then, you know, you blew it off at Survivor Series, what, like 5 months later, if that?
That's true. And the interesting thing about the entire thing is like you said, it was in Atlanta, but why not just make, you know, WCW, ECW, the Alliance, you know, make them a separate show for 6 months before there is even any interaction, really?
Well, my memory is served correctly.
I know they tried the bump Bagwell thing, and it fell miserably, but that was the problem. I saw a shoot video about it, was you know, they did that idea with Buff and Booker T. They did it in Seattle, Washington.
Right.
WCW never went to Seattle, Washington the entire history of the company. No one knew WCW was up there.
And even if you had done it here, you have to think that, you know, it's a WWF audience, and you've conditioned people to go, okay, we're WWF fans, we're not WCW fans. And
but
see,
in Atlanta, I think
it
was different. I think in Atlanta,
right.
if you did that Booker T. Buff Bagwell match at the Phillips Arena in Atlanta, where they were WCW fans who just happened to also watch WWF, it would have been a lot different story.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I think it was all about positioning. I think that subtly deep down, Vince took the cheap way out because he didn't want to pay the guys that were going to sit at home like Nash and Hall and Sting. He didn't want to pay those guys. So he said, just sit at home until your contract expires, and then you got nowhere to go. We'll do it. Because deep down, Vince never really wanted to get over.
Oh, yeah, you want your creation to win. You want your creation to be number one. So, yeah, I mean, that's human nature. You couldn't blame him for that.
Yeah, well, I think it's wrestling nature because I mean, you know, I don't see Mark Zuckerberg trying to buy Snapchat or Instagram and rename it FaceChat. I mean, he's not stupid. He's a businessman. A businessman is going to make money off of whatever they acquire. A wrestling guy is going to just make money off what he thinks he acquires.
Right.
So, just my opinion.
Jen Holbrook Sells is on the line with us now.
Oh, God, I am, aren't I?
Whether she wants to be or not, she's on the line.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just sitting here listening in. So, yeah, I'm listening to Matt talk incessantly to you guys, which gives me a break, so that was nice.
Okay, Johnny, now toss the question her way.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, Johnny.
So we've been talking about great ball drops in WWE history. Who would you say is the biggest one or two people that Vince McMahon has dropped the ball on?
Oh, boy. Wow. See, criticizing Vince McMahon, let's see how smart this might be to do today. Wow. That's a really difficult question because you kind of have to think about who, not really who Vince dropped the ball on, but really who kind of. I know you guys were talking about the women's division and the girl kind of dropped the ball on herself, so to speak. So you kind of have to think who did they really drop, whose fault is whose. You know, I mean, I loved the karma storyline, but, you know, life gets in the way, and I think she could have been an amazing member of the roster. But, you know, life happens. So now we get stuck with Total Divas, and we get to look at the Bellas and Alicia Fox instead. So, you know, does that make for better wrestling or worse wrestling? So
I think Savage dropped his balls on Stephanie.
Oh, and there goes his Hall of Fame career.
And you were trying to be careful about what you say because you want to work for that company one day.
And I'm fucked.
Now since we have no future in the business, Jonathan, what's your answer for that question? Then give mine.
Well, the karma thing came to mind. I don't know. The Ric Flair thing definitely
I don't think
there.
It was a ball of karma. I have to agree with Jim on that one. A lot of that was karma's doings and not Lee Vince's.
No, I agree with that. But, I mean, after she got pregnant and all that, they could have brought her back, and they didn't. But
most recent for me, just personally, in my opinion, but full disclosure, my opinion is the only one that matters about wrestling. recently, I think within the last couple of years, they dropped the ball on Ryback. I would have put the belt on him when he was hot, and he would have been my fucking monster champion. I would have totally booked him just like Goldberg. I'd have put the belt on him that pay-per-view they did in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Now take what you just said and apply that to Big Van Vader in 1996. Why the fuck was he not given a world
title? Oh, you know what? You know, I'm glad you mentioned Vader because he was also on my list.
Well, I'd have to say Goldberg. They dropped the ball on Goldberg for sure, but also Sting. I mean, how could they never have had Sting? He's the one guy that I can think of at least that never.
Well, how many times have we heard that Sting was close to signing a deal and decided not to because he didn't want to work the number of dates or whatever the rumor was? I wouldn't necessarily put that on WWE.
Yeah, but, I mean, if they really wanted him, they would have gotten him.
That's true. That is true. I mean,
I think
bringing back other guys for less.
During the Attitude Era, I think it was all because he was born again and he didn't agree with what was going on, blah, 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 but they did a lot of the same stuff at WCW, so I think if they had offered him whatever they had to do to get him, they could have gotten him. And I mean, not that WWE suffered as a result, but I think at this rate, at this point, if they bring him in, he's probably just not going to get the reaction he would have gotten 10 or 15 years ago.
Probably not. And real quick, I'll give you two more names on my list I don't see come up a lot in these discussions. One, I think, would have to be Mike Awesome. Maybe he came in a little too late, but I really wish they would have done more with him. And the same goes for Stevie Richards. I don't think there's ever been a more solid guy recently that they just did nothing with. Just my opinion.
Oh, well, Richards, I'd say Raven.
Oh, fair enough.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, I think that they kind of did Raven and Stevie a disservice. And here's another guy that we didn't mention that. Sabu. I mean, a lot of it probably was Sabu's fault, but, I mean, how could they not have really tried to get – I mean, I've heard rumors, that in 1993 they wanted to sign Sabu and make him a head shrinker, and he said, fuck you. And I don't know if part of that, them never really using him again all led up to that. But then another one that just came to my mind was – and I know he had a run in the early 80s, and it was pretty successful, but Barry Windham. 1989, Barry Windham might have been the best pound-for-pound worker in the business.
The Widowmaker.
And they dubbed him the Widowmaker and forget all about the fact that he's Barry Windham.
Are
you
forgetting
the
Stalker?
Arn Anderson.
The Stalker was even years later, but I'm just talking about in 1989 when Windham came over. At one point, they had Windham, Tully, and Arn all in the company at the same time, and Bobby Heenan was there, and J.J. Dillon were there. Why nothing happened, I'll never understand.
Yeah.
Okay, enough Mark talk. Let's talk about some business.
Let's I think Jen wanted to get her stuff in real quick, and then we can talk to Matt. Jen,
okay,
would
you
like?
Just shove me aside, Jonathan. Thanks, I appreciate that.
Well, we can make you the main event if you want.
Well, I was going to ask about the comic book stuff. I'm kind of more interested in that than anything else.
I'm sorry, Josh. I didn't hear that.
I'm interested in this whole comic book business you're getting into.
Have you looked at Zenoscope's website, Josh?
I have not looked at it yet. No, is it nice? Is it?
Well, it's lots of large-breasted heroines. So I wonder if that has anything to do with Jen getting a job there.
Yes. Yes, they've seen all my profile pictures from the last couple of days and decided to hire me. I actually went up there to interview for a different position within kind of the whole of the comic book company they have up there. Zenoscope's been in business since 2007, And really, I went up there, and then they kind of saw some of my credentials and some of the stuff that I had done as far as marketing and trade shows and in the entertainment business. So they decided to hire me for the marketing manager. So now I'm in charge of all of the conventions, comic conventions, and a lot of the social media and website design for Zenoscope Entertainment. And it's really an incredible opportunity. They are about to launch or about to release their 100th Grimm's Fairy Tales. So that'll be happening at San Diego Comic-Con. But this coming weekend, this next weekend, will be at Wizard World Atlanta and booth 330. And because it's kind of my home area and my hometown, and so we're going to have a bunch of freebies and a bunch of stuff to give away, and we'll be partnering with a bunch of different people. And I don't know, I've heard rumors that perhaps the Rock and Roll Models will be in the Zenoscope booth for a time on Saturday and or Sunday, if they can coexist. We'll have to see if that happens. But no, I mean, really excited. I mean, we're ever expanding, and we've actually got some partnerships in the works. So you may see some partnerships between Zenoscope and some wrestling organizations in the very near future, and doing some graphic novels and some comics as they relate to wrestling. So when that happens, we'll be happy to I'll come back on and tell you guys all about it.
Well, and that kind of leads to my first question. You know, you're working for that, and you get the wrestling thing. You know, being in Philadelphia, which has for the past decade is in the heart and soul of in the independent wrestling world. Do you see a lot of crossover appeal between the two genres? I mean, I know we all do, and that's how where Chikara's really making their niche. Who, you know, God bless her soul, they're coming back today and on iPay-Per-View.
Right.
So, you know, why is it like that people? I mean, there's the same fans, it's the same fan base, it's the same demographics, the same marketing to an extent. Why is there not more with comic books and wrestling, in your opinion? And can you bridge that gap in your new position?
Well, this is really one of the things when they asked me, you know, where do you, you know, kind of see some of the fan bases to expand upon? They're actually getting in Zenoscope. If you look at the website, I encourage you to do that at zenoscope.com, and of course they're on Facebook as well. It's very adult oriented, and these guys, Joe and Ralph, when they decided to start their company, that's what they really wanted to go towards. Is, you know, it's violent, and it's lots of TNA, and it's lots of not the wrestling company, but the actual
right,
tits
yeah.
and ass, which is what it is. So, and that's where they wanted to go, but then they kind of saw an opportunity to get into some of these other divisions. So they actually have they're actually starting a kind of more of a teens and kind of a preteen type of young adult comics division, which they've expanded onto. And they asked me to, when I was interviewing for the position, where are some of the markets that you see? And one of them I said, you know, because I'm kind of close to the industry, I said, hey, you know, wrestling fans. I said, you know, why not? I mean, this is basically, you know, you've got some really great companies up in this area, in the Philadelphia area, and why not partner with these guys and see what you can possibly do? So they're very interested in doing that, and they're very interested in kind of expanding into maybe some markets that aren't necessarily traditional for them. Which, you know, if you look at cosplay and you look at Comic-Cons and you look at, you know, Stan Lee's and Kamikazes and all of that and Wizard World, you can kind of see maybe there's not a huge crossover. But even the WWE recognizes it. I mean, Big Show, Mick Foley. Mick Foley was at, you know, Comic-Con in Chicago. So, you know, the guys individually are seeing it. You know, we all know CM Punk's a huge comic book fan. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that are. And so,
Sorry, go ahead.
Make that connection.
I agree. And Matt, I don't know if you read comic books. I think Johnny Danger used to be a pretty good comic book guy. Jonathan Williams, you know, seems to be a comic book guy. I'm not, but I think about 25, 30 wrestlers who are, and I know their fans are, and you see a lot of it when you go to these conventions. I mean, you go to Dragon Con, you go to the Comic Con, you see guys, you know, wearing the cosplay outfits of the Randy Savages, the Big Boss Man, and so forth. And I just think it's just kind of silly why the two act like they don't exist together, but yet we all know they do. It's almost like how, like, you know, case in point, hip-hop, rap music. People don't think rappers like pro wrestling, but in Wale dropped his freestyle last week, there's nothing but a song about wrestlers. It's like there's this crossover that people are just completely not realizing is there.
Right.
They just think all wrestling fans are a bunch of poor rednecks. And
right.
I think we're starting to realize they're not.
Right, right, but it's not even just wrestling, because they asked me to come up with some other ideas, with some different ideas, and so, you know, wrestling is just one of the venues
right.
that I came up with, and they seem to be, you know, really hugely interested in that, so that's something that we really want to explore, and that's going to be, you know, one of the things that we're, you know, going to reach out and have some people be a part of, so... We're absolutely 100% hoping that we can get, you know, a lot more recognition for maybe the wrestling and the comics and the graphic novels, you know, together, because it's already there. Like you said, you know, Comic-Cons and Dragon-Cons and Wizard World, it's already there. I mean, there's the crossover is there. The same fans are there. So, and they all listen to Fozzy, so.
Oh, God. They all dress like them, listen to Fozzy too. Nerds.
I'm a huge Fozzy fan. I like those guys. I love those guys. I know. But have been since the very, very early days. So there's probably some stories that I can tell, but probably off mic. So we'll tell those one day. But if you guys, you know, have any questions, I know there's, you know, if you guys have anything about PWR you want to ask, by all means, ask away, because I know there's some questions there too, or I can just...
Well, and you know, like me, I've not been in the state for a year and a half. I mean, I knew what was going on the scene. I knew what you guys were doing, and I knew how kind of like, saw on your guys' lap and everything. But just kind of go through. Yeah, I mean, you should just kind of go through. You know, is there any rumors you want to clear up? Is there anything you want to address? I'm not mentioning the motherfucker by name. Johnny Danger, I have nothing good to say about him. So he wrote about you guys. We know it. And, you know, I hope he'll write about me on tomorrow anyway, because I just said that he's a motherfucker. So if you guys want to address anything that's been said, I mean, this is your guys' forum.
And it's really not for, you know, for me to say. There's been some great fans, and there have been some great people who've been a part of PWR that have written online on Facebook about, and Johnny Danger is one of them, that have written about their experiences with PWR, and that's kind of where we're, you know, kind of where I want to leave that. There's, you know, there's my version, there's a version from 950 miles away, and then there's the truth probably. So everybody's going to have their opinion. The realistic part of it, and the reason that PWR is closing down or going on hiatus is, honest to God, because Matt and I are moving away, and I have absolutely no desire to try to run a wrestling company when I'm in Philadelphia, headquartered in Georgia. So
right.
I just think that's kind of insane to try to do that. But so that's really, honest to God, the reason. And there's a lot of ups and downs that we have had over the last 8.5 years, and everybody knows what those are. Those are kind of out in the open, and those are public knowledge. But, you know, it's very, very difficult to talk about, because it's very difficult for me to talk about closing down, you know, something, a company that means, you know, so much to me and has been such a huge part of my life. And, you know, whatever people think about me or have heard about me and my lack of knowledge about the business, or what they think of what my lack of knowledge about the business is, this has, you know, been part of my life for a really long time. And so owning and operating our wrestling company was a dream of mine. And, you know, having it end is extremely sad and extremely difficult for me. But, you know, the reason is not because there's no passion or there's no desire or there's no heart to do it. It's just because there are some fantastic opportunities in Philadelphia, and that's what Matt and I have to take advantage of at this point in our lives. So that's the reason that PWR is suspending operations. It is what it is. Like every wrestling company and every business in and of itself, things, you know, go through changes and have their ups and downs. And, you know, we would still be running shows if we were going to be in the state. But I leave, you know, next Monday to go to Philadelphia and move up to Philadelphia. And that just is the reality of it. Like I said, it's not because there's no desire or there's no passion or there's no dedication for the business. It's just, it is what it is, you know, and that is the only reason why PWR is not going to be running for the foreseeable future, is because we are moving away.
Right. So, well, and even for someone to continue, there's no passion for the business. They obviously don't know you two. I mean, I've been lucky enough to work with you, Jen, for years when you were ringing out and interviewing for us. Yeah, I'm going to bring it up.
I didn't know if you were going to bring that up or not, Josh. Okay.
But the fact is, I've known you. I've also known that you used to work in a morning show in Athens, Georgia, at the station where I got my fucking first start in radio. So, you know, it is what it is. But as far as I mean, I could be wrong, but you got your start in wrestling in, like, the late 90s, if I'm wrong.
Well, yes, I was 5, and it just so, no, yeah, no, no, no. It's, you know, my older brother, for a lot of people who do and don't know, you know, my older brother was a wrestler, and I got into the business when I was, you know, just going to the matches with him. And, you know, it's been a great time. And yeah, I've been, you know, in the business for a long time. So,
right.
Yeah.
Matt went to the Wild Side Training Academy. He trained with the legendary Rick Michaels. And you know what? He didn't get the opportunity at the Church of Southern Wrestling that some people get and some people are handed. And he had a butt to that, and he did that. And now, Matt Sells, tell us where you're going in Philadelphia.
The plan is to move up there and to continue the journey that I've been doing for the last 12 years and the journey that I've really been focusing on for the last 4, and that's to go ahead and get my foot in the door and then knock down the door to Ring of Honor Wrestling. I want to go up there. I'm going to go up there and completely commit myself to working for Ring of Honor, going to their training dojo, going on the road with them, and just kind of that servant heart spirit of whatever I can do for that company, I'll do. Anybody that knows me, I don't drink the Kool-Aid for too many places or too many people, but there's something about ROH that they've got me sipping their Kool-Aid. It's a great group of guys, it's a great locker room. It's, to me, the epitome of independent wrestling in the U.S. and in the world. I mean, you look at what they're doing now with co-promoting with New Japan and look at the events they're putting on. So the Ring of Honor started the same month I started training to be a wrestler. So it's been a goal since day one for me to be an ROH competitor. So I love listening to podcasts like Georgia Wrestling Now. I love reading autobiographies, and there's always kind of the common theme there of it's you got to kind of make it uncomfortable before you can achieve your dream. So I can think of nothing more uncomfortable than leaving behind Georgia, where I've lived my entire life, and leaving behind Georgia, where I've spent my whole wrestling career, and going, you know what, let's pack up our stuff, let's move up to Philly, and let's go ahead and do this. Because if you're going to crash and burn, I want to crash and burn doing what I want to do, you know, and trying my damnedest to get there. And I really believe that if you work your ass off and people start taking notice, that, you know, good things are going to happen. So that's the next step for me.
No, I agree wholeheartedly in everything you just said. And it kind of goes in. I've been watching a bunch of shoot videos today, and I was watching Raven in an older shoot video, and he said for years he felt his wrestling career was a failure. He felt that he fell in wrestling until he finally sat back and realized, he says, I didn't fail. I succeeded because I tried. And that's really what it boils down to. Failure is those that don't try but think about it. Success is those that try. Either they don't get to the top level, they at least did it. And that's something if you're in the wrestling business in any way, shape, or form, you have tried to chase your dream. Now, some people
think about it,
try very shittily, go ahead, sorry.
If you shoot as high as you possibly can and you think about it, you fall short of that, I mean, you know,
right.
fall short, you've still gotten somewhere, and you're still, better off than you were before.
Exactly. And you've been in a Ring of Honor ring. You have done something that 99% of the people in the South have never done, that are buzzing their ass every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You've done 99% what most of the guys have never done. I mean, you can count on two hands all the guys from the Georgia scene that have ever been at Ring of Honor. Now, you've been there. You've done it, and you did it without the political power play that a lot of those other guys had. Now, that's not to say that those guys weren't good, but they had someone helping them out. You did it on your own. And I think that should be commended and praised, because it should be looked at as, this guy did it without having to do the political bullshit. We should be celebrating guys like Matt Sells, not fucking saying Matt Sells is an idiot for moving to Philadelphia. Just my opinion.
Right. Well, I mean, it's insane. It's nuts. It's a decision that Jen and I have talked about for a while, and it's insane. You try to explain it to somebody that has any sort of sanity, and you go, okay, I'm leaving behind everything I know. I'm leaving behind guarantees here, and I'm going to, you know, dream a little dream, you know? But anybody that's ever experienced any sort of success in any sort of athletics or any sort of entertainment or anything, it's never been, hey, I was comfortable, and, you know, and then all of a sudden the opportunity came along. Well, no, I made myself really uncomfortable. I busted my ass, and I made that opportunity happen for myself. So it's nuts.
Have you been given any indication from Ring of Honor what your role will be once you move? I mean, obviously you got that match on TV back in Nashville back in January, I think.
Well,
and I don't know if you've done anything for them since then, but have they told you given you any idea what you might be doing?
No, I mean, I know my intention is to go up there, and like a lot of guys that are at the school right now, they train at the school, and then they're on the road every weekend, and they're the ones, you know, they're the guys behind the scenes putting together the show, putting together the ring, putting together the set, and that's my intent, is to be there and do that, and basically do what I've been doing, any show I show up to, being able to do it now on a consistent basis. And, you know, it's about making your own opportunities and being right place, right time. So now, I haven't been handed any guarantees or anything. The guys I have talked to, the higher-ups there, have told me before that, yeah, this is the next logical step. If you want to work for that company, is to be closer so you can be there, and you have an opportunity for them to see you. Because there's only so much of me they can see, you know, in a 5-minute match I'm working, you know, in Nashville, or so much they can see of me, you know, in a 2-day training seminar. Now they'll have an opportunity to see me in the ring, you know, every evening I do training at the dojo. They'll have an opportunity to see me if they have a spot that opens up for a dark, or a spot that opens up for a TV match. You know, I'm one of the first guys there to be able to get that. So it's about making my own opportunities. Like, yeah, there's really no guarantee and no indication of what can happen, but, you know, sky's the limit.
Well, and at the same time, I mean, you go from work. I mean, and there's shows in Georgia. Don't get me wrong. There's tons of shows in Georgia, but those shows are, like we've all discussed on the show before, they're at a certain level that is pretty much not on the radar. You could go up to Philadelphia, you could work CZW on a Friday, you could work, you know, XWA on a Saturday, you could work Beyond on a Sunday. Then the next week you're at Chikara, you're at Wrestling Is, you're at Wrestling Is Art. I mean, there's so many other places that you can work that have credible eyeballs constantly around. I mean, Philadelphia, I don't know, I mean, you're just right there in that circle. You meet a good group of guys, next thing you know, you're in Toronto doing shows. There's so many things you could be doing while you're there, because that has become the center hub of the business. For down here, you're stuck working, you know, this place or this place or this place, and you're driving 3-4 hours away for the same fans, basically, that you were working for Friday night. But up there, you're working in front of 20,000-30,000 new people every month. I mean, you know, that's what I don't think people are understanding is, yeah, yes, it's your dream to work for Ring of Honor, and you're going to do it. I mean, we know that you're going to end up being there and being a part of that roster, but at the same time, Matt Sells could become a Beyond guy. He could become a CZW guy. He could become a Chikara guy. You're going to be great at Chikara, by the way. So it's like there's so many more things that you could do with your wrestling career up there. Here,
right.
That's my point with
talking to people about it. I'm like, you know, worst case scenario, the failure aspect of it, would be I'd go up there. I'm in front of new audiences. I learn from new guys, and I become a better wrestler. That's worst-case scenario. You know, I mean, that's a pretty good worst-case scenario, you know? Oh, geez,
exactly.
I learned from people that know a hell of a lot more about wrestling than I do. Oh, no, that's a horrible, horrible way to fail, you know? So, yeah, I mean, there's really no downside, you know, other than, you know, leaving behind those that I'm close to here, like Johnny Danger. I don't know who the target audience is for wrestling podcasts. I don't know. I never know.
It's usually wrestlers and
right.
The uber smart marks.
Right. So you know, I feel like yeah.
Literally only talking to about 25 guys that wrestle in the Georgia scene.
Right. So I feel like I should be like, oh, I hate you, Johnny Danger, since we just had a blood feud last night. But no. So yeah. Kayfabe is unfortunately dead, thanks to stuff
well,
like
I disagree with that completely. I disagree with that 100%. Kayfabe is not dead. It's just people don't realize that kayfabe has to be orchestrated differently because, like I said, I asked you this on this podcast, Fox News is in business since 1996 because of kayfabe. Because those guys cannot believe what they're selling you. There isn't a single person in the world that can say there's no such thing as climate change and really honestly believe there's no such thing as climate change.
You don't live where I'm living currently because I think there's plenty
exactly,
of people here
exactly.
to believe
Fox
that.
News told you there's no climate change and all the marks are like, there's no climate change. Bill O'Reilly told me so. That's kayfabe.
Yeah, the trust me, I know exactly where you're coming from. The joys of being a science teacher as well as a wrestler. So
The NFL is a billion-dollar industry because they still got people believing football's real.
Not to mention Monster Jam.
We know Monster Trucks doesn't fucking work. I mean, come on, Gravedigger and Bigfoot for 35 years, no one else can step up?
Bigfoot's been missing for a long time.
Well, see, there you go, because freaking Gravedigger finally went over him, and Bigfoot had to retire in his retirement match.
Yeah, next thing you're going to tell me is the Harlem Globetrotters doesn't work.
See, there
you
go.
My childhood.
So how did the conversation go? Matt Sells comes home from work one day and says, okay, listen, Jen, we're moving to Philadelphia.
I wish that's how it went.
No,
but that's actually
kind of the opposite.
Uh-oh.
No, you know when you're with somebody and you kind of understand their passion, and Matt will have to give me 1,000% of the credit because the very first Ring of Honor camp he went to, I believe I paid for, and I said, get your ass to Philadelphia.
You told me to go, but you didn't pay for it.
but you know, after the Nashville show where he was actually worked Artie and was on TV, and we came back and we had been thinking about it and talking about it, and unfortunately, my job situation changed back in February, and we had this opportunity and just kind of, you know, looked at each other and he's like, no, you know, let's not move to Philly, it's fine, we'll go back and forth. And I was like, you know what, if it's the right opportunity, let's do it. So we asked he asked some of the guys he knew with Ring of Honor, and I asked some people that I knew with the company, and the consensus kind of was you know, if you guys, you know, if he wants to make this commitment, if he wants to make this jump, he needs to be up here. So it kind of went back and forth from there, and you know, it's kind of like let's do it. So then, you know, I started looking for jobs up in Philadelphia, and we took a trip up there, and I had some job interviews, and everything kind of fell into place from there. So, no, it's all my idea. The secret of Matt's success is all me. it's all me pushing him. Actually, the toughest thing that we had to do is of course Matt having to break the news to Johnny Danger.
Oh goodness, Johnny, how'd that go?
You know, I got to be honest. I love Matt like a brother. I love Jen. It sucks to lose your best friend. But
also like a brother.
I'm incredibly proud of Matt. I know him and Jen will both accomplish great things, and, you know, I wish him success in the future, and hopefully there will be a Rock and Roll Models reunion tour one day.
Oh, yeah. We'll be able to charge even more money when I'm more of a, you know, a household name, so we'll get two hot dogs when we get booking.
Speaking of being a household name, what's the chance of Ring of Honor getting Sinclair Broadcasting to buy a TV station in Atlanta?
Oh, trust me, I would love for that to happen. God, especially as it started, you know, getting booked and working for them regularly. I want everybody down here to be able to see me. But, yeah, I know that they're continually expanding. I think they've added something like 35 stations just this year alone. So it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility. I think they've got even more. But, yeah.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I keep up with Sinclair Broadcasting for various reasons. But as I mean, like, the way they're buying TV stations is reminiscent to the way that Clear Channel bought a bunch of radio stations. So it gets me, like, scared at the same time. But, you know, I see the opportunity. And, I mean, Ring of Honor is definitely content to their networks. So Ring of Honor will not be going anywhere unless Sinclair completely implodes, which should not happen for at least 20 years. So I think you're getting in on the, you know, on a good situation.
Perfect time to get in with them, because, I mean, for so many reasons. I mean, you think about 12 years ago with them, that it was, you know, a super indie, and now they're way more than that. 12 years ago, I don't think there would have been a spot on their show for a guy like me that is more of kind of a Southern-style wrestler, but now with it being more of a TV-based company, there's some more sports entertainment and kind of Memphis-style stuff on their TV show every week, which I can totally fill that niche. And, I mean, they're going to, you know, start doing the three-hour Sunday night pay-per-views, you know, the wrestling staple, starting with June 22nd at Best in the World in Nashville, where they made my ROH debut. So the people that aren't at AWE in College Park on June 22nd, come check out the
Actually,
Best
we'll
in the world.
Be ending our show right around the time their pay-per-view begins.
Well, see,
so
perfect.
I invite the few people at Reno Ring of Honor to rush home and watch that pay-per-view.
Perfect. See, there you go. Works out best for everyone.
Right. but now comes my second question. As the industry starts really starting to embrace the internet and embrace iPay-per-views and embrace video on demand, and even WWE's embracing the network, do you feel maybe the iPay, like, the, just going to regular traditional pay-per-view is a step backwards for a progressive, forward-thinking company like Ring of Honor's always been?
Well, I mean, you want to think how progressive the world is as far as embracing technology. And then when they released the numbers for WrestleMania, that 400,000 people still bought WrestleMania via pay-per-view this year. You know, I mean, where people paid, what, 60, 70, 75 bucks for the pay-per-view, and they could have gotten the network for 6 months. So I think it's still very much a viable market, especially for wrestling. And going back to, we think wrestling fans are kind of progressive, but, you know, some of them are the older fans that still remember the good old days of wrestling. So pay-per-view is still new technology to some wrestling fans. And some people just still prefer, you know, to watch stuff via pay-per-view, to watch stuff via TV. Don't realize the compatibility of a Roku box or a PS3 or something, you know? So, I mean, I was even late to the party on that. I mean, I had my PS3 for a couple of years before I really started streaming anything on it, so I can imagine if I'm late to the party, other people are too. But I think it's a big deal for a company that has never done live Sunday night 3-hour pay-per-views to be doing it. I think it's very much a step forward for them. So, I mean, you'll get people now that, you know, don't check out ROH's website and don't check out ROH on Sinclair or any TV stations that, you know, are flipping through a channel on Sunday night and see on demand and go, hey, what's this ROH wrestling stuff? And, you know, maybe willing to plop down the money, and you can convert new fans that way. But the audience that's already there is going to actively seek it out. It's the audience that's not already there that, you know, it's a pretty amazing capacity to be able to use pay-per-view to get new fans.
Oh, no, that's a very, very fair argument. And I was not thinking about it from that standpoint because, again, I just see that, you know, the two big companies are saying, well, pay-per-view isn't worth the cost. And then I see Ring of Honor saying, well, we're going to try it anyway. So, and you might be honest with me. Maybe they realize that there still is that niche market that says, we will pay $20 to watch a pay-per-view at home on a Sunday or get some friends together versus pay $9.99 to get a Ustream feed that keeps crashing. Not to say I read
right.
that to Ring of Honor, but I'm not going to say I ordered best in the world 2010 and it froze on me 5 times. I'm not going to say that. Even if it did, but...
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of best in the world, it'll be in Nashville next month, right?
It will be June 22nd in Nashville.
And I'm assuming you will be there whether or not you're on the card or not.
Yeah, I will be there, yeah, with bells and whistles on. So, yeah, you enjoy looking at the ring and the entranceway that night because it will have been helped to be put together by Matt Sexcells. so, yeah, no, I don't expect, you know, to be on that card that night. Stranger things have happened, you know, but I expect the guys to be on that card are the ones that have been there, you know, busting their ass week in and week out for them and are the ones that deserve the spotlight that night that, you know, that hopefully more of the market, more of the world is going to be able to see what Ring of Honor is all about. But that, best
well,
in the world 2015, I fully expect you to see Matt Sexcells, so.
You've had good fortune with Ring of Honor in Nashville so far, so.
So far, so good, yeah. So
hopefully
keep
that'll
that mojo going.
All right. Well, I'm ready to get back in the hot tub or whatever's going on upstairs. So, do you guys have anything?
Well, fine. You finish your family reunion. I'm going to go back to my my nice, comfortable position on the couch and get ready for the Mad Men finale.
All right.
Yeah,
Johnny,
I'm gonna ice my neck and get back in the bed.
Oh, I'm gonna pimp some shit real quick. You know, since I went out with them last night, make sure you still go check out NWA Atlanta every second and fourth Saturday in Locust Grove because those guys are awesome and they were good to me for the 2 years that I was there. And make sure for the next 2 weeks I am still in Georgia, so make sure you come see the last two matches on my farewell tour to Georgia for now. As I'll be at APW, Alternative Pro Wrestling, in lovely Royston, Georgia, this upcoming Friday as well as the following Friday. So, you know, come buy T-shirts from me. It's the last opportunity to be able to get those for a while. And come say goodbye to your favorite hair metal heartthrob. And you want one of two favorite rock and roll models, because fuck Joey Kidman.
And Wizard World Atlanta.
And Wizard World Atlanta, come say hi. Come say hey to Zenoscope as well as the RNRM. So,
booth.
Yeah,
yes,
go to Wizard World Atlanta
and
hit me up on Facebook or email me or Twitter or Instagram, and I will send you the flyers. So you can take all my flyers to Wizard World and hit those comic nerds with some Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment pubs. Yeah. Well, Jonathan, it's your show. Wrap it up.
Yeah. I think that's it. And next week, I believe, we are going to have at least one of the BFFs. I know their last match will have already happened by then, but since we couldn't get them on this show, only one of them is moving away, so the other one is going to continue wrestling in Georgia. So,
What's going on with Fantastic Tag Team splitting up in Georgia?
And if they can't come on?
Georgia Tag Team Wrestling.
If they can't come on, just call us. We'll do it again.
Well, I know you guys always you're always our Matt was our fourth choice for this week, I think. But he's always
I'm gonna start doing Matt Pixel's drive bys every week. I'm calling in.
Hey,
should.
I'm all for that because I was a candy cutter mark, so.
And I'm totally not following the Georgia indie scene, but I'm going to write a blog about it every week because my opinions are the only ones that matter.
Yeah,
well,
suck that.
Well, I'm gonna write blogs about other people's blogs about the Georgia independent wrestling scene. So get ready for that.
As long as you both
I already did that. I just want you guys to know I got full disclosure already copyrighted, okay?
Fine. I'll write about blogs about other people's blogs about the Georgia independent wrestling scene.
I'll write about Jim's blog, about Josh Willer's blog, about another blog. It'll be great.
There you go.
Well,
I'm
going to
write
about
Godzilla.
I'm going to do a podcast with my buddy Chafee called Pro Wrestling is Dead, which will be coming in probably the next like 4 or 5 days, and I'll keep doing this thing with Jonathan. So.
Will one of you call your blog Full of Shit, please?
Yes.
Look, okay. I don't care who
it
is. As long as there's a full of shit, then we're all happy. All right. So next week we'll be back on Monday. I know this month we've probably done more shows not on Monday than on Monday, but we'll be back on Monday, I believe, with the BFFs, or at least one of the BFFs. Thanks to Matt Sexcells and Jen Holbrook-Sells for calling in. Good luck with everything at Wizard World and APW and Ring of Honor and Zenoscope. Johnny Danger, I hope you feel better. And Joshua Von Wheeler, I hope you get some... What are you going to do? I forget.
No, I'm going to go watch Mad Men. Fuck going to sleep now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wide awake.
All right. Enjoy Mad Men.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week, and we'll talk to you then.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.